I've come to Chicago to look at a mounting environmental threat that is taking up the time of an extraordinary range of groups. The American government, the American army, the Canadian government, and all because of one fish. It's the Asian carp, a voracious, big species that grows to 4 feet in length and can be as much as 100 pounds in weight, that was first introduced to the American South about 20 or 30 years ago. They were used in fish farms, but they then managed to escape and have since been wriggling their way up the Mississippi River system. They're now within just a matter of miles from the Great Lakes themselves. And environmentalists warn that if they manage to break into the lakes and establish themselves there, they will destroy the ecosystem of the lakes, and with it the $7 billion fishing and recreational industry upon which the Great Lakes depend. I began by asking a Chicago environmentalist, Joel Brumeyer, to explain the nature of the threat.
Well, these fish do two things very well. They eat and they jump. Asian carp actually filter food out of the water much more efficiently than native Great Lakes fish, and they will actually starve out small fish, so they actually can't grow into the sport fish that Great Lakes state's economies depend on. The other thing these fish do is they jump out of the water when they're disturbed by a passing boat. We've got one of the largest recreational boating industries in the world here in the Great Lakes states and provinces, and these fish have actually broken jaws, knocked people unconscious, and even caused folks to nearly drown in the Mississippi River.
Well, they can really jump out at you. They're that big, are they?
They average in the 20 to 30 pound range. If you can imagine cruising down a lake at 15 or 20 knots and getting hit in the stomach or the head with a bowling ball, that's what you can envision with an Asian carp.
That doesn't sound pleasant. There's a huge debate going on that's reached right to the level of the Supreme Court about what should be done to try and stop these fish. Why, in your view, is this such a sort of seminal moment for the Great Lakes in terms of the need to stop them?
Well, there's been a tremendous interest in the Great Lakes this year. We're seeing huge new federal investment in undoing some of the sins of the past, of toxic pollution, of habitat destruction, and invasive species here in the Great Lakes. In this case, we have good information, we know what the threat is, and we know how to stop it. If we can't act to stop Asian carp today, we're basically consigning the Great Lakes to another century, like the 20th century, where we left a legacy of damage behind instead of a sustainable future.
These units are what we call pulsers. They're where the electricity is actually converted from a steady current to pulses and then sent out to the waterway.
There you are. There's the sound of Asian carp being irritated and turned back, with any luck, away from the Great Lakes. Chuck Shea of the Corps of Engineers. Now, you're the project manager here down by the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal, and this, if I'm right, is the first and most important barrier that exists to trying to stop Asian carp reaching the Great Lakes. Can you tell me what we're hearing in the background? We're hearing a rather sort of slightly ugly electronic sound. What's that all about?
Well, that's simply the hum of our transformers for the electrical system. The barriers are electrical barriers. What happens is that we get electrical current from the power utility, convert it from alternating current to direct current, and then pulse the direct current into the water, so that the electrical field in the waterway is actually very rapidly turning on and off.
Okay, so there's an electric current pulsating through this canal that we're standing beside. Now, I'm an Asian carp, and I'm swimming my way up the river, and I'm looking forward to getting to Lake Michigan and ruining the lives of all the other native fish species around me. What happens to me when I start hitting this barrier?
The electrical barrier is actually a graduated electrical field in the water. As the fish approaches, it gets a larger and larger electrical shock. The fish realize that going forward makes them extremely uncomfortable, so they turn around and go back the way they came without crossing over the entire electrified area.
I've got three species of carp in here. There's actually a big head and a silver carp, and there's also a grass carp in here as well.
Right, well, we finally get to meet some of these carp. Kurt Ettinger, you're a fish biologist, and we're at the Shedd Aquarium, which is Chicago's world-renowned aquarium. What stands out for you about Asian carp?
The first thing about them is not only their appearance, but how much they actually do eat. And I feed them four or five times a day, anywhere up to 5 to 6 pounds of food. And that's nothing compared to what they could possibly eat in the wild, where it's said that a single fish could eat up to 40% of its body weight in a day. So if there's a 100-pound fish, that's 30 to 40 pounds of food.
When you say food, it's plankton, right? And so are you feeding them, what, frozen plankton? Or?
Correct. I'm feeding them frozen plankton. There's three different varieties, copepods, brine shrimp, and spirulina algae.
Now, as you said, the fact they eat so much is peculiar to them, but that's also very, very significant in terms of the threat to the Great Lakes were they to get into and establish themselves in the ecosystem of this area. What would it mean in terms of other native species?
Well, since they are plankton eaters, they're eating the food directly from the mouths of our juvenile fish that need that to survive after they're born. And using the Illinois River and the Mississippi River Basin as a model where they've already established themselves, it's a very serious threat where they could potentially do the same thing in river systems throughout the Great Lakes.
Right. What has happened in those rivers, the Illinois and the Mississippi, where they're now very well established? What's happened there?
What's happened is biologists have found in some areas of especially the Illinois River, that the bighead and silver carp make up 90% of the biomass, which means for every 10 fish, you know, 9 of them could be one of these species of fish.
So they've really taken over.
Correct. They've taken over a lot of areas and even some of the commercial fisheries locally.
This is our last stop in a day spent touring around looking at the Asian carp crisis in the Great Lakes. We're standing just by a lock, the Chicago Lock, which is where the Chicago River meets Michigan Lake. If the electronic barrier is the first line of protection, this is the last line of protection. I'm with David Ulrich, who has an organization that works with mayors of cities all around the Great Lakes in many different states. David, how intense is the threat at the moment?
It is an extremely intense threat that mayors, governors from all across the Great Lakes and on the U.S. side and the Canadian side as well have been extremely concerned about for a great deal of time. People thought the electronic barrier was going to do the job and realized just recently with some of the latest evidence that's come forward that the fish may in fact already have gotten beyond. That hasn't been verified, but the level of concern, the intensity of the feelings and the sense of urgency has increased dramatically, which is a good thing because it is probably the most serious threat facing the Great Lakes today.
Okay, so we're standing here at the, as I said, the final frontier, really, the final barrier to stop the Asian carp getting into the lakes. Are you confident that that will happen? Is there enough of a sense of urgency, as you mentioned, to make this happen, to actually keep them out?
I think there is still a very good chance. I was asked recently what I would put the odds at. I think it's still 50-50 that we can keep them out. Others are saying that the battle has been lost already. But so much effort on the scientific front, the engineering front, is being put forward now. I think we've got the best chance we possibly can have to stop them, but we can't be certain of that, and there cannot be any letting up. I think the next 2 to 3 months are going to be critical, the next 6 months, and then finding a permanent long-term solution, not only for the carp, but for all of the other invasive species that use this as a pathway back and forth, that solution is equally important.